A lot of good stuff in here, and how we can do that, and you know that we are one body. And I know we've talked about a lot of those verses, and we'll be reviewing some of them. But just always good to keep in mind, especially closing out a year, heading into a new year, and I think the Christmas season and all. So again, it's going to be good. Your key verses are 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, and then 27. So if you're able and willing to stand for the reading of God's word, we will do that and then pray. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So you get the sense of the oneness, even though there's many out of those verses. Very important. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you again for this morning to be able to gather together and look into your word, and as it relates to striving together, today is the body of Christ. And Lord, today I pray that you'd help us to realize that even though we're different, but we can be one in you. And Lord, help us not to compare ourselves with each other, but to always compare ourselves with you. Help us to stay committed and faithful, to be in part of your one body, Lord. And it's through that that we would also continue to encourage and edify one another, and members of the body. So we ask a blessing on your word this morning. Help me to get out of the way as we just proclaim your truths to your people. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. So striving as the body of Christ. For 33 and one half years, the Lord Jesus moved and walked on this earth. He demonstrated the love of God to a lost and broken world. He showed compassion on those hurting and wounded. He showed those around him what it meant to be a true servant. And he boldly declared a clear message of hope and salvation. The point of today's lesson is this: the work that Christ began with his physical body, he now continues through his spiritual body, the church. And we'll look at verses that, you know, we're his spiritual body. And we're compared to that a lot, as you'll see. And that's how his work continues. God's word refers to the local church as the body of Christ. This picture is used throughout the New Testament, and we can also read of this in the following five verses there in your workbook. And we'll just go down through those quickly. Romans 12, 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 4:12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then Colossians 1:24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. And then finally, Colossians 2:19, and not holding the head from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Wow, just some real plain and encouraging verses, how we all mesh together and work together. While we've touched on this metaphor in previous lessons, today will be our primary focus as we learn more about striving together. The function of the local church is to carry out the will of Jesus Christ, pointing men and women to him and serving as his agents in the world. We are not our own. God has purchased us with his own blood, and we serve at his command. You know, and I know that kind of runs contrary to our nature and what the world tells us, and we'll look at that again in a little bit. The third verse of the great hymn, Onward, Christian Soldiers well describes our role as the body of Jesus Christ. I'm not sure I ever got that far when I sang Onward, Christian Soldiers, but it's good words. It says this, like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity or love. So good stuff. Again, just one body in those things. The body working together. And, I have a little video put together to show you that just demonstrates this, that how our body is all connected, and then how the bodies are connected, and then how God pretties it all up for us. So, Nate, if you'd run the little 45-second video. All right, so I think you get the sense, though, really, when you think of that, how wonderfully we are made and how it takes all the little parts to make that stuff happen, but that you can do it in unity and, I thought I'd replace that. You were getting tired of the rowing thing, I'm sure, but, all working together and in unison, and just what a wonderful message that is to us, and all enabled by the Lord Jesus Christ. So that was kind of fun. So, nowhere is the concept of the church as the body of Christ explained in greater detail than in 1 Corinthians 12 that we just read. In this chapter, we can discover three keys to understanding our role in the body of Christ. So, first key is the ministry of the Spirit. Roman numeral 1, didn't go there. There you go. That is not, what's happening up there, Deacon Knight? Try it again. There you go. Okay, the ministry of the Spirit is Roman numeral 1. Jesus explained to the disciples in John 14 through 16 that upon his departure, the Holy Spirit would come into their lives, enabling them to fulfill his will as they labored in the ministry of the New Testament local church. In Acts 1:4, Jesus told them to wait for the Spirit's arrival before continuing his gospel ministry. It's there in your book. Acts 1:4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So again, they're waiting together, he's encouraging them to wait, but it's through the Spirit that they're able to continue after that. So consider two specific benefits provided to us by the Holy Spirit that are explained toward the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12. Letter A, he provides the miracle of unity. The miracle of unity. And you think about that, we don't usually maybe think that as a miracle, but if you really think about it, it really is. That, so many different things can, people and backgrounds and all that can become united. It's a wonderful thing. In your book, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, or for everybody and with all. It is truly a miracle that people who are so different could also function in such unity. And I just thought about, what if, you can imagine if we all tried to live in a house, amen, with all the personalities and thoughts and stuff would go on. Families are hard sometimes to live in the house. Sometimes it's hard to live by myself. It's hard to get along, even with ourselves if you're a single person. So it really is a miracle when you just kind of have that together. I kind of pictured it as, a home with chores, and maybe you had a house like that or grew up in one. And if everybody did their chores and did what they were supposed to do, had their own part, things went smoother, didn't it? It was kind of kind of a scriptural basis for everybody doing their part and doing what they should do, and things just go easier if nobody has to step in and do it for you. So many things about us are different. Our backgrounds, our personalities, our strengths and weaknesses, and yet there is one thing we have in common. We have been placed into the family of God by His Holy Spirit. Praise God. Dr. R.B. Ouellette has commented on the challenge of accomplishing unity while there exists such variety within the local church. He explained, quote, God does not expect unanimity, or being unanimous. He expects unity. He doesn't expect us to be unanimous in the way we think, but he does expect us to stay united. In other words, not everyone is expected to think exactly the same as everyone else, or even arrive at the same conclusion. But we are to never allow those differences in personality or preference to create division. And I see that so much nowadays, I think, and especially you might talk about politics, and it's kind of like at the family dinner shouldn't be brought up. I almost think that way in church sometimes too, because people might have a different opinion. And we just need to respect that and not get mad at them or yell at them, especially in church. It's just the wrong thing to do, raising kids, there's different opinions, education, how to educate. There's a lot of things out there that we can maybe disagree on what we think, but that shouldn't destroy our unity in the church, because church isn't about any of that stuff. Our church is about one God and one Christ and the one Spirit and pulling together. So it's important to remember that. When differing people gather around one body of doctrine, read from one Bible, and walk in the presence and power of the one Holy Spirit, then unity can be found. And I think it is, praise God. So, letter B, he provides a mosaic of giftedness. Now, a mosaic, as you might know, is small pieces put together to make up a larger picture. That's a mosaic, okay? And so, as a mosaic of everybody in giftedness. So I had the thought, what if we were put together like this? And if you can make that out, I think we can be glad that Picasso wasn't God, amen? And that's just, how he pictured a face put together. And it's, it's more like what humans would do. And just the diversity of pieces, sure, but they're not really working very well together, in my opinion. I mean, some people might think that's wonderful art, and that's okay. I'm not going to get in an argument this morning about that. But that's just a good example of a mosaic and how pieces can go together wrong and not make some sense. But God puts us in a mosaic of giftedness that are complementary. In your book, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So he'll split it all up into different people, but we all work together. It's just one Spirit. So it should be an agreement. In his wisdom, the Holy Spirit has given those in Christ's body a wide variety of spiritual gifts. Like the pieces of a complicated mosaic, we are each unique. Yet when we are properly joined together, we become a whole masterpiece that serves as a testimony to our Creator. And that's really what we want to be, amen, a testimony to Him. And people look at it, boy, that church body has it together there, and that's, praise God, we should. So, again, not like this picture. I'm going to be glad that God wasn't a Picasso, I guess. And so there's different things about this. These aren't in your book. But first, the gifts are given by God's grace. We've talked often about God's grace. And that in His grace, He's given us gifts. there in your workbook at Romans 12, 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So again, just examples of, you know, different gifts we can have, and we're not expected to have every one of them individually. Together, we want to have the gifts, and God will bless the local church with people with those gifts. There are 7 permanent edifying gifts to be used during the New Testament church age, found in Romans 12, 6 through 8. Number 1 is prophecy, carries the idea of preaching and discernment. 2, ministry, carries the idea of helping or serving. 3 is teaching, carries the idea of helping others understand truth. 4, exhortation, carries the idea of encouragement. 5, giving, carries the idea of generosity. 6, ruling, carries the idea of administration. And 7, mercy, carries the idea of compassion. So all those things that that we can and should be doing. 2, the gifts are chosen by God's will. God's will that chooses those. 1 Corinthians 12, 11, there in your book. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. As he will, as he chooses to divvy it up, that's up to him. It's up to him. Our duty is just to respond to that. God is the one to decide who gets which gifts. Further, those gifts are intended for his pleasure and glory, not ours. So we are foolish to question his wisdom in these matters. You know, and that's, again, we can get in some trouble in trying to force our will into places that we shouldn't, that God hasn't placed us. Romans 9:20 in your book. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I never had, really noticed that verse before, but I really like that. Because I've shared before, one of my pet peeves is people that say, oh, God made me this way. Well, I just don't believe that, actually. I mean, he made us, no question. But this way, my God deals in changing me and making me better, not leaving me as he made me, you know. Certain forces certainly probably made us a certain way, and backgrounds or raising, whatever could be. But God gives us the ability to change and get through that. So I just like that, you know. Don't blame God for what we perceive as our own shortcomings or our own personality quirks or whatever it might be, you know. Because he made us and he can change us as well. So the second key is the metaphor of the body. The metaphor of the body. A metaphor is a likeness, an analogy, kind of a comparison. It puts the concepts into other things as a metaphor, things that are like something. So God's Word presents several metaphors in an effort to help us understand the life and ministry of the local church. First, its members are referred to as a flock. He calls us a flock. Acts 20, 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. And unfortunately, we see that today, don't we? The world, the wolves of the world come in and try to prey on us sheep, you know, and sheep, because we're kind of dumb and can follow us things along. So we want to follow the good shepherd and let him protect us. But yeah, we're like a flock. We're not a flock. We're not sheep. Everybody gets that, right? But we're compared to a flock because of our behavior sometimes. Luke 12:32 in your book. Fear not, little flock, And I got to stop there and just, I just so appreciate and love that Pastor Farouk chose that name for his ministry in Pakistan. Because fear not, how appropriate for a place like Pakistan. Fear not, little flock. You know, because, you know, there's a lot of persecution there and a lot of things to fear. So they're encouraging that. Anyway, continuing, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And, you know, I'm kind of excited to see that today because this morning, as you might remember, we're going to look more at the Little Flock Ministry in the main service. And Pastor Farouk's going to give us a video on what's going on and everything. So just excellent timing again on that. Next, the church is compared to a building. And I want to note here, it's not the building, it's like a building. So again, we tell you off, the church is the people, amen, and not the building. But, people can get confused because Scripture uses it, but we're like a building. Ephesians 2:21 in your book. In whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. So, you know, you could say, well, that sounds like a building, but he's talking about the church and building together to us. Very similarly, the church is described as the house of God. And again, it's not a building, but it's a spiritual house. And 1 Peter 4:17 in your book. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them be that obey not the gospel of God? So we're just compared to that house and where judgment begins. 1 Peter 2:5, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, an holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So I thought on that, I probably even have to apologize, because I've sometimes referred, it's been good to be in the house of God. Well, really, the Holy Spirit lives in us. So we're the house of God. And all us people are actually, we're housing the Holy Spirit. We're housing God. So I think it more, this is a building of worship, you know. And I think it's fine. I'm not going to, you know, be upset with anybody. But it just got me thinking that really, yeah, we are the house. We're the building that houses God. And we just need to appreciate that, I guess, and think on that. And lastly, we are called the bride of Christ. We are called the bride of Christ. 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. In other words, his bride. And then Revelation 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And that's us. The church has made ourselves ready for the marriage supper with the Lamb. Wow. So we have those metaphors, those things that we're like, but the body of Christ is the picture used most often throughout the New Testament. Consider four principles concerning the life in the local church that we can learn from this metaphor, found in the heart of 1 Corinthians 12. Letter A, we are many, and yet we are one body. We're many, and many of us here this morning will be many more later, but we are one body. In your book, 1 Corinthians 12:12-14 again, for as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. You're getting the idea by now, I'm sure. But here's that's the second encouragement towards oneness and unity found in this chapter. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for us, prayed for this in the Garden of Gethsemane shortly before going to the cross. John 17:20-22, there in your workbook. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Wow, that covers all the way up to our time, people. Pretty cool. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And as I reflected on that, back up to verse 21, that the world may, no wonder the world has such a hard time believing the word of God. There's so many divisions and stuff in the churches and in religion, you know, that, you know, they don't know what to believe or figure out. And it just says that, you know, that, but if we were all on the, if we all held to the true doctrine and same doctrine and beliefs and helping each other like we profess to do, the world would have a harder time denying it. But, you know, it's pretty easy. Well, they do this and you say that, which is right, you know, and they throw up their hands and they walk away. But that's why I think our church is doing so well in the community, because they can come in and see that there's agreement and based on God's word here and stuff. So, letter B, we are mistaken when we compare within the body. We are mistaken when we compare within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:15-16. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? In other words, saying it ain't so doesn't make it so. You know, we're kind of stuck with one another, just like those skeletons and the stuff, you know. So we might as well work together rather than break apart somewhere. As we occupy our place in the body, we must avoid the temptations of fixing our attention on the other members of the body. It's real easy to worry about somebody else, isn't it? I mean, you know, I've got to admit I do that sometimes, you know, but what we should take care of first is ourselves. Some are distracted and look at others in comparison, judgment, resentment, or jealousy. When I make this mistake, I render myself ineffective of my own role and responsibility. If I'm more worried about somebody else, that means I'm spending time thinking on some, rather than thinking on what I should be doing and could be doing better. It doesn't take a medical surgeon to understand that every part of the body is important, regardless of its size, its shape, or its function. 2 Corinthians 10:12 in your book. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. You know, obviously, they knew that was going to happen. It does happen, but it's not the wise thing to do. Not the wise thing. Letter C, we are made purposefully unique for the body. We are each unique, and it's for a reason. You know, I always kind of considered it a compliment when people said, well, you're not a typical accountant. And praise God, you know. It seems to have a bad, every time you watch a movie with the accountant, it's usually not a good thing. So, you know, that's okay. But because we are unique, and we should be unique. 1 Corinthians 12:17-20. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. Wow. The truth found in verse 8 should provide encouragement to every Christian. God put us in the local body we're in, specifically according to his purpose and pleasure. And that's just, you know, it should give us, and does, I think, gives us great comfort. You know, I'm here for a reason, and God put me here, and we can rest in that. Consider the following principles. There is a job for me to do within the local body. I was specifically put here by God to do that job. No one is uniquely equipped to do that job as I am. Others may step in, but it won't work as well, you know, as God intended, if I'm not doing my job. If I don't accomplish the job God has for me, the church won't reach its potential, and God will not be pleased. The gifts and abilities that God has invested in my life are a stewardship to be used for His glory, His pleasure, and His purposes. Just to encourage us all to do our part. We don't have to be the preacher, praise God, you know, but we can do our part. 1 Peter 4:10 in your book. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. He's had the grace to give us something, and we should have the wisdom and grace to use it. Letter D, we are meant for one another within the body. 1 Corinthians 12:21 in your book. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. You know that, and just so true. It's so easy to. It's such a good comparison because you know what would my head do if my feet didn't take me anywhere, you know, or if I couldn't see the computer, you know, and it's just you know, and people with limits can do things to overcome that, and sometimes the church will too. Like I say, other things might pick up the slack, but it's not how it's intended. It's not how it's intended. We should each do our job. We need one another. As stated last week, Christianity is a team sport. Paul told the Roman believers there in your book, Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. We are in this together. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. By bearing each other up, encouraging, edifying one another. Then the third key is the members of the church. The members of the church. The word membership has become kind of loosely used in the 21st century. Some hold membership at country clubs. Others hold memberships in organizations or societies. Some are members of a discount club. You know, members of Costco. Amen? Maybe a member of a timeshare program or even a grocery store. There's so many things we can be members of anymore. Do not allow these loose associations to diminish the concept of membership within the local church. When we say we are members of the local church, we should never underestimate the significance of such a relationship. Now, and here I'm not talking about signing the paper of Spokane Baptist. You know, we're members of the body of Christ. If you attend here and participate here and fellowship here, you know, God's word would say you're a member here. The other is just kind of a legal thing and, you know, legal votes and that kind of thing. But members of the church is a special relationship. This means that we are spiritually connected not only to one another, but also to the Lord Jesus Christ. In your book, Romans 12:4 and 5, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. So letter A, there is a myth about the members. A myth. Or maybe more of a mystery, but 1 Corinthians 12:22 through 24 say, nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. And, you know, it's just, sometimes the smaller and more feeble are harder to accept. Now, we do a great job. In fact, we were just, Kathy was sharing with me this morning that, you know, absolutely nobody complained when we started the new line and let the ladies in the walkers move to the front of the line. It's kind of what it's talking about. You know, we give them more honor and you know, just the way we should, and not complain about their getting their meatballs before I do. I mean, you know, that's my fleshly temptations. Hey, and anyway, so just a great example of that. God's ways are not our ways. We tend to estimate someone's value on appearance, abilities, or affluence. God, on the other hand, places great value on each member of his body. He worries more about us individually. Paul uses the human body to help us understand that. In fact, sometimes the least favored members are the most crucial. Just ask yourself, kind of personalize this, you know, what if I needed two surgeries and I could only get one? One was a facelift, and the other was a bypass heart surgery. You know, some of you might go, yeah, Don, get the facelift. You know, you could use some help. But what I know my dear wife would say, get the bypass, Don, and live longer. You know, what's more important? What's prominent, what everybody see, or what's inside, what's in our heart? You know, and we need to pick the heart thing. Prominence does not equal importance. Good one. Prominence does not equal importance. Sometimes the most prominent members are guilty of being unavailable to God. At other times, pride gets in the way. But when God uses an unlikely candidate to accomplish his work, there is no mistaking to whom the glory belongs. And I like that. Sometimes you see somebody at least expect to step up and do something, it's just wonderful to see. And you give God the glory for doing that. In your book, 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 29, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. No flesh should glory in his presence. Nothing special about what we do. It's all what God has done or can do. So letter B, there is a ministry among the members. A ministry among the members. 1 Corinthians 12:25-26. There should be no schism in the body. That's a split or a division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, and all the members rejoice with it. Being with each other. Now, a third time in this passage, we see the importance of unity. Instead of division, discord, or dissension within the body, God desires that we have the same care one for another. Paul taught us in Romans 12:15 that we weep with them that weep. And we care for the people. When you read the story of the first century church, you discover that God is in the business of adding to and multiplying the local church body. That's mentioned 9 times in Acts, that they were building up and multiplying. While the devil is in the business of subtracting from and dividing the body. You know, it's what Satan would love to do, is split things up and scatter, take people away from the church body completely. So if you want to cooperate with God, you'll become involved in what the New Testament describes as the edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of the local church through serving and strengthening one another, praying for one another. Ephesians 4:12-16 in your book, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself and love. You know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling thing. We build each other up, then we're able to build each other up. Sometimes I might help somebody, more often than not, they'll help me. And just that continuous give and take of edifying one another. Letter C, there is a master above the members. A master above the members. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And again, it's that ownership, you know, and The world will say, don't give up ownership. But, you know, God's word says, you know, he gave himself for us. He bought us. He purchased us with his blood. What part of your body tells the other parts what to do? If you're healthy, your head does. Again, if you know, if it's working right, your head, your brain gives your commands to do that. Likewise, God's word makes it clear that Jesus is the head of the church. As in our human bodies, the members of the local body are designed to obey the instructions sent to them by their head, Jesus Christ. We should obey what he tells us. And we're better off for doing it. You know, it kind of comes, again, contrary to our human nature and our flesh, but we're just better off if we obey him. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow. He's at the head, and we can trust him and follow him. And then Ephesians 5, 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. We look to him first off. You know, remember sometimes you get at the amusement parks or elsewhere, you have the cut-out heads, you put your head through and you're a picture of a gladiator or whatever. You might be a muscle man, a clown, maybe even a bathing beauty. I put my head in those before. Or this one, it's from the glider from VBS. And, you know, it's kind of funny because the head doesn't really fit, right? And then we do that. Many of us have had our pictures taken this way, and the photos are humorous because the head doesn't fit on the body that's portrayed there. If we could picture Christ as the head of our local body of believers, would the world laugh at us as being misfit? Or would they stand in awe of a human body so closely related to a divine head? Wow. The more we look like him and resemble him, it's an awesome thing that we aspire to. Letter D, there is a mission available to the members. A mission available to the members. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 through 31 in your book there. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. We all have our own thing to do. God does not give the same task to everyone. He expects each person to identify his or unique role in his kingdom and to become involved. He wants us to do what he's called us to do in his will. A.T. Pearson, a great preacher of the late 1800s, who consulted with C.I. Schofield, followed Spurgeon as the pastor of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. So he ran in a pretty heady crowd and motivated many towards missionary service, shared 7 principles regarding spiritual gifts and our responsibility to use them in the local body. 1, every believer has some gift. Therefore, all should be encouraged. 2, no one has all the gifts, therefore all should be humble. 3, all gifts are for the body, therefore all should be harmonious. 4, all gifts are for the Lord, therefore all should be contented. 5, all gifts are mutually helpful, therefore all should be faithful. 6, all gifts promote the whole body's health, therefore none can be dispensed with. 7, all gifts depend upon the Holy Spirit's empowerment, therefore none should be out of fellowship with him. Stay close to him and fellowship with him, and we can do our part, and the body can act like and behave as it's supposed to. Wonderful comparisons. So in conclusion, do you know your role in this local body? If not, we can help you find that place you can get plugged in. It's God's will that every saint should be a servant and that every member would become a minister. Are you contributing to the health of the body? Are you building others up? Are you guilty of comparison or competition? God wants us to be unified. There is a mission for us to do as the body of Christ. We are responsible to obey the dictates of our head and to carry out his work and his will on this earth. Let's join together and make a difference as we function and move forward as the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your encouragement and again for the challenge of just becoming more like you, Lord. And as we strive together, I just pray, Lord, that each of us would find our place to be of service, and Lord, that we would be content with that, but also be committed to using that and helping this local body to grow and to carry out your will in our community and in the church and with others. Lord, I do thank you so much for the diversity you've given us here at Spokane Baptist and how great things are being done as we do them together and everybody doing their part. You truly have blessed us with that. And we pray that we would just continue to strive to be worthy of that and to even take bigger strides and steps towards serving you together and striving together in a mighty way for your cause and your will. So bless each one, Lord, that is here this morning and those to come. Be with the pastor in the main service as he shares some Christmas story, and with Pastor Farouk as he shares the little flock of Pakistan. We're so thankful, again, just for the diversity that shows and the things that you are doing here. So bless on all our time. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You are dismissed.